This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 137.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I've got a great interview for you with Mark Schaefer, and it's all about how to get known. But before we get to the interview, I just wanted to say a quick word about our new sponsor, ResponseSource. ResponseSource is a media inquiry service that puts journalists who are looking for help with stories in touch with people who want to be featured in the media. So that's people like you. And if you subscribe to ResponseSource, you'll get dozens of emails in your inbox every day from journalists from the likes of the BBC, The Guardian, and Grazia magazine. So there's no need to write press releases or pitches to journalists. You simply reply to the messages in your inbox. Now, using ResponseSource has resulted in some fantastic coverage for the clients that I work with. And one example that comes to mind is Kate Beavis, an expert in vintage style who's recently been featured in the Daily Mail, in Top Sante magazine and the Metro newspaper, simply from replying to a few emails. So if you'd like to find out if ResponseSource could help you to get press coverage for your business and have a free trial of the service, then head over to responsesource.com/Janet Murray. That's responsesource.com/Janet Murray, and I'll also put a link to that in the show notes. And now, on with the main part of the show. So, joining me on the show today is Mark Schaefer. Now, Mark is a social media consultant, a keynote speaker, and author. He's written 5 best-selling books on marketing, and his latest, Known, is all about something we're very interested in on the Soulful PR Podcast, and that's how to get known for what you do. So welcome to the show, Mark.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So the reason I really wanted to get you on the show, I mean, I've heard you speak a couple of times and I've been following your work for quite a few years now, but the thing that really, really struck me is you've got a new book out, which is about how to get known, which is exactly what the Soulful PR audience are all about. So I thought it would be great to talk to you about your new book and what we can learn from it in terms of getting ourselves known.
I think that would be highly appropriate for your audience.
So yeah, can you tell us about the new book and what we can learn?
Well, the seeds for the book were really planted, about 10 years ago. I had been working for a big company and had a very big job and a big title. I had awards all over my walls. And then I decided to leave the company and start my own business. And I'll never forget, Janet, what the feeling that I had that day that I left. It was like the veil of silence had fallen. I got no more emails, no more requests for meetings. I wasn't wined and dined anymore. Overnight, I became the go-to guy for nothing. And I realized that all that equity I had built up in these old measures of influence, like my title, my job, how many people reported to me, how much money I made, certificates on the wall. Nobody knew about that stuff. Nobody cared about that stuff. I was beginning to establish a brand on the online world, and I had to start over. And here's what I realized. Nobody cares about that stuff. The only thing that matters is this, to be known. And other things happened along the way throughout the years where I realized that this idea of being known could really create a permanent and sustainable advantage in your career, no matter what you want to do. And about 2 years ago, I started on this journey to figure out, can anybody become known? Is there a process? Is there a path? Could I demystify this and keep people from being overwhelmed? Could we get people focused on things that other successful people did? And so I started doing research. I interviewed more than 100 successful people who are known in their fields all over the world. And I found this path. And that's what the book is about.
Wow. And you've broken it down into four steps, or you found four characteristics that people who are great at getting known is basically what they did. Is that right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I can go through the steps very briefly, of course. I mean, there's a whole book about this, so it's multi-layered. But the first thing is you have to define what you want to be known for. And what I found, Janet, is that most of the self-help books and advice and articles out there today kind of start and stop with finding your passion. And that's very frustrating to me, because then what do you do? And a lot of the research shows that most people fail because they only follow their passion without a plan. So in my book, step one is not necessarily defining your passion, but you have to define a sustainable interest. It's something that you want to be known for over a long period of time, so it's sustainable and there's an audience out there big enough to make a difference. The second step is to find the right place, just as you've done with your podcast. This is a space, a channel that fits for you. It aligns with your content, the audience that you want to reach. And so spending some time to really think through, where do I need to be? Where are the people going to be to get my message? Is there an audience big enough there to make a difference to me? And by the way, I've got exercises in the book, lots of exercises in the book to help people focus every step of the way. And there's even a workbook that goes with the book that if you complete the workbook, you've got a plan. The third step is to determine what sort of content are you going to produce. And I realize this is the point where a lot of people are going to roll their eyes because they're going to think, I don't have time for that. But again, I give some very practical ideas, practical suggestions in the book to try to determine something that you can do consistently. The fourth step is building an audience that matters. And I start off this chapter by talking about some of the myths of audience building. And a lot of people think, if I just have a big audience, I'm going to be able to sell my stuff, or I'm going to be able to sell books. And that doesn't really happen on social media. So I break that down and teach people how to create an audience that really, truly matters. And then another theme that kind of covers all of this is having really the grit, the resilience, the consistency to do this. One of my big learnings as I wrote this book was I discovered that these successful people, on average, worked about 2.5 years on this process before they really started getting traction. So people don't become an overnight success. And a lot of the people that we look up to, that we love and respect on the web, they didn't start as experts. They worked really hard, in some cases for years, before they became known and successful on the web.
Okay, so what I'd love to do, we'll be able to break each of those areas down, if that's okay.
But, sure.
But before we do, I'd just like to pick up on your point about the grit and resilience, because it's really interesting. I've just recently relaunched my membership community, and it's called the Soulful PR Studio. And it's a group of, got a couple of hundred members now, of people who are looking to basically to create good habits around promoting their business so that it becomes something that they do every single day. But what's really interesting is I've been inducting new members to the community, and I've had conversations that go like this a lot, actually, over the last few weeks, where people say, I've got an online course that I want to promote, and I want to put it out in a couple of months. And they'll say, and I'll say, okay, well, who's your audience? How many people have you got on your email list? Who's following you on social media? Who's going to buy this product? And they'll say, oh, well, I haven't really got anybody, and what I thought I'd do is I'd try and get an article in the press, and this is often how they find me. And then my job there is to say, well, you know, getting one article in the press is A, may not be the right channel for you to use anyway, but B, actually, that's not going to, you know, given that the fact that most of these online courses convert at 1% or 2% or something like that, then this is not going to sell you enough, you know, to justify your time. What you really need to do is to step back and concentrate on building your audience, building your community. And then when you, you know, you do bring out something to sell, you've got almost like a Chris Markle's, like a starving audience who are dying to get your product. And that's hard, isn't it? Because it takes time. You don't build an audience or a community over a couple of weeks, do you? It takes years,
Janet,
like you
this
say.
This is a perfect example of why people need to be known. And I mean, I counseled somebody recently in a very similar situation where she had built this amazing online course and she was doing free webinars, but nobody was signing up for it. And she was saying, well, if Amy Porterfield can do it, why can't I do it? Now, Amy is someone who I respect very much. And I want to tell you something. Amy has worked hard for years, probably at least 5 or 6 years, to build her audience, to build her community, so that there's an emotional connection between her and her audience and her content. And when Amy releases something like this, it's just as you say, people can't wait for it. They want more, but it doesn't happen overnight. To be able to sell something online, to be able to write a book or start a speaking career or even acquire customers for your business today, you have to be known. There's no shortcut. You have to be known, and that takes time. And that's hopefully what my book will teach everyone.
So important. I've just found myself just saying those same things over and over again. It sounds mean. It's kind of like, well, who are you going to sell it to? And it sounds harsh and it's disappointing, I think, for people to hear it. But actually, you know, someone like Amy Porterfield, for those who don't know her, she's a very influential social media expert. She's known for Facebook ads, but she also teaches people about how to do successful webinars. And she's got a huge, huge email list, a huge audience built up, like Mark says, over years and years. And it's just an example of really what you need to do to, you know, in terms of audience building in order to be able to sell products. And she really does shift her products. She's very, very successful. So can I take you back to the first step, which you said was about finding your passion, but not just finding your passion, but actually, because I guess what you're saying is lots of us want to do things that are around our passion areas, things that we love doing, but actually, is there a sustainable business in there, or is there anything that we can create that people will actually buy? So can you talk a little bit more about that first step? Maybe give us some examples of how that might work in practice.
Well, first of all, this part of the book might even be a little controversial, because one of the most persistent mantras we have on the web today is, you know, follow your dream. If you can believe it, you can see it, then blah, 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 blah. And I have a different point of view. And it's not just a different opinion. There's lots and lots of research that says that's not how the world works. That the biggest cause for a brand failure or a business failure is because people follow a passion without a plan. Sometimes a hobby is just a hobby. And there's plenty of people who love photography and they open a photo studio and it fails. Or they love baking and they open a bakery and it fails because they didn't think it through. So I'm not saying you shouldn't have a passion. I'm not saying you shouldn't pursue a dream. I'm just saying you're going to spend years with this. Think it through. Have a plan. And what I found as I interviewed these amazing people for this book is that most of them would say, you know, my passion is boating or my passion is motorcycles, but that's not what I want to be known for. Yes, you've got to have an interest. You've got to love what you're doing, but you have to have an audience that matters, or what are you doing? You're going to fail. So what I try to do is shift this away from the word passion to sustainable interest. And I've got exercises in the book, lots of really solid, proven exercises to help people do that and think it through.
I've had some clients that I've been working with recently, quite a few actually, who have come to me because they're helping women who've experienced cancer. And so they've developed a niche where they might have developed a blog and some resources around that. And then when I start chatting to them about their business, they say, well, this is all very well, but I don't want to be seen as the lady that that specializes in cancer, and I can totally understand that, because I imagine it might be a painful thing to keep thinking about and talking about. But actually, they're doing it very well, and there's an audience and there's a niche. So they say, well, you know, so I think one lady, she specialized in skincare, I think it was, for people who'd suffer from cancer. Somebody else was coaching for somebody who suffered from cancer. And they're both sort of always saying to me, look, I think maybe I need to kind of go broader. Now, my instinct as a sort of business person was thinking, actually, well, if you've got a really great niche and you're really helping people and they like what you do, actually, in going broader, you may well dilute your message and what you're about. And actually, if you can sustain your interest in that, and if you can continue to serve people and help people, that's probably going to be better for you. And it'd be really interesting to get your thoughts on that, because it's something I hear a lot. They say, well, just what you said there, really, this is what I'm known for at the moment, but this is what I want to be known for. But often the thing that they want to be known for is a bit broad and wishy-washy, but the thing they're actually good at and already doing really well is often the thing that they kind of almost want to move away from. And I'd be really interested to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think there's probably no real cookie cutter answer for that. I think your instinct is absolutely correct, that if you've established a niche and you're known in that niche, you've got to move very, very carefully if you're thinking about changing, because you don't want to abandon that audience and you don't want to confuse them. But over time, I realized that people do change, their interests shift, and maybe they want to adjust a little bit or change a little bit. You know, I think that's healthy. But you bring up another very important point that I want to highlight. What I discovered when I was creating this process and writing the book, I started hearing something from all of these successful people. They kept telling me how much their work helps other people, and that really drives them. And as I started to hear this and I started to do research about this process, I discovered that having a purpose is very important to your sustainable interest. That, and this is another thing that kind of flies in the face of a lot of the mantras on the web today about hustle and promoting yourself constantly. It's to make this work in the long run. It's not about you. It's about them. It's not about selling you. It's about helping them. And that was something that came out in every single discussion I had. I even interviewed this artist, and she became famous. She creates a miniature painting every single day and posts it on Instagram. She's become this worldwide sensation. And even the artist, she said, you know, it's hard to create a painting every single day. Sometimes I'm sick. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes things happen in my life. But I know if I keep doing this, I can help support the people and the artistic venues I believe in. And that was the type of theme I heard through everyone. They have a deep sense of purpose, and that what they're doing, what drives them, is that they're helping other people.
That's really, really interesting. Okay. So the second strand to your book, it was about sort of your channels, I think, wasn't it? And how you communicate mm-hmm. and what sort of platforms
you use. Yeah, I call it
the
space. You've got to find the right space.
So can you talk a bit more about that and maybe give us some examples there?
Well, so let's say you want to be, your interest, the thing you want to be known for, has something to do with food. Well, the first thing I do in this chapter is to help you to figure out how crowded is that space. And if you're interested in food, it is very crowded. So you've got to find a space that you can occupy. And here's an example. I met this young woman in Brazil, and she loves food. And all she wanted to do for her whole life was to be a food blogger. But her other passion is Hollywood movies and television shows. So what she did is she started making food cooking videos about famous recipes from food scenes in the movies and the TV shows.
Wow, I love it.
And she dressed up as the characters and did the recipe.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
So in one episode, she dresses up like Marge Simpson and makes homemade donuts. And it's hilarious and it's entertaining, but you can just see her passion and joy. And what she has done is found a space for her. Nobody is doing it just, yes, there are lots of food bloggers, but nobody's doing it just like her. So there are exercises in the book. You know, the thing that's so exciting is, yes, it seems like the internet is so noisy and competitive, but 10 years from now, we're going to look back and say, oh, I wish I lived in 2017. There were so many opportunities back then. The internet is just beginning. The ideas and the people and the blogs and the videos, they're going to have the biggest impact on us 10 years from now, haven't been invented yet. There's room for everybody. So my book tries to help you find, where do you fit in?
I love that. It reminds me a little bit of the Blue Ocean Strategy, isn't it? Which is, I forget who the author is, but that's the idea that, you know, everybody else is kind of fighting it out in the red bloody sea where it's all competitive. But if you can find your own blue ocean, your own space where you're just doing your thing and you're different and it's much calmer and it's much easier and much easier to get known.
It's really marketing 101. You can't keep doing what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. And it's also that book, isn't it? I'm having a blank on my book titles now, but when everyone else zigs, you should be zagging. And it's that kind of idea as well, that sort of just being different and standing out. And the next strand you talked about was then thinking about the kind of content that you're going to create. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, today, content is the fuel. It's what ignites your brand. And so you have to create some kind of content consistently. And this is where people get into a lot of trouble because, number one, they think, how am I going to have the time for this? So I have a section on that. How do I get started? What am I going to say? You know, what if people think I'm stupid? I've got a section on that. What if I'm an introvert? I'm uncomfortable with this. I've got a section on that. I try to knock down every barrier and comfort people and encourage them. And the other piece of advice I have in this area is, you can't be overwhelmed with what your competition is doing and fear of missing out. If you see, oh, they have a podcast and they have a blog and they're doing videos, my recommendation is to pick one thing, pick one type of content and stick with it and do it well for at least a year, maybe 2 years, before you decide to try something else. Build an audience, master that channel. And I've got exercises in the book to help everyone figure out what is the best type of content for them.
It's a really interesting point there, because I am now in the second year of my podcast, and I showed on my Facebook page, I think it was, my listening stats over a year or 15 months, I think it was. And just to show how much it takes to build an audience, my audience figures have sort of doubled really over the last 2 or 3 months. In fact, it's suddenly really kind of picked up, which is fantastic. But that's taken, I started off once a week, so I have an interview on a Friday, and then I started creating a short midweek episode as well. So I'm now on 133 episodes, I think, as we record this. But it's only really when I got past the 12-month mark, even though it was doing well and it was growing an audience and people were listening, but it was only that I really have started to see the impact of that. And I think I shared that on my Facebook page because I wanted to say to people, look, you have to just stick at this. Like, you can't just expect to put a couple of posts out and suddenly everybody's going to be raving over you. You've got to keep going and you've got to be consistent.
You've got to keep going. Yep, absolutely.
And I think that can be a hard one to swallow at first, can't it? Because I think we're kind of in that kind of culture where we're expecting immediate results, aren't we? But it really is just about turning up, showing up and being consistent.
And this is a very honest book, because if something is hard to do, I say, this is hard to do. If something takes time, I tell people, it's going to take this much time. In fact, there's a little section in my book, I interview someone who decided not to be known, because it just wasn't that time in his life. He had a baby on the way. He had, you know, career changes. And I wanted just to present that view. You know, it's perfectly okay if this isn't the time for you. You know, my book will be around. Maybe a better time to do this is 6 months from now or a year from now. You know, I want to encourage everybody to make the right decision for them. This is not a book about unicorns and rainbows and rah, rah, rah. It's a practical book built on what works in the real world.
And the last one is about building an audience that matters, isn't it? I think it was interesting you made that distinction. It's not about building an audience, but building an audience that matters. Could you talk a bit about that just to finish?
There's a difference between being known and being famous. Being known doesn't mean that you're going to be on the red carpet and you're going to have millions of followers. Being known implies that you have the appropriate reputation and presence on the web to achieve your goals, whatever they might be. And I have an example in the book about a doctor who wanted to be known, not in an entire state or province or an entire country. She needed to be known in her region because children were not getting inoculated. And she wanted to change that. So she started creating content to change people's minds. And she did this for over a year, and she was really depressed because she was seeing that she was only getting an average of 5 readers a day. Her audience was very small. But then one day, she got a letter from a lady that said, "Because of your blog, I learned that I was wrong about vaccinations. I never knew this information existed before. And I have all my children inoculated, all my nieces and nephews inoculated, and I'm not going to stop until I get every child in my neighborhood inoculated." So here was a person that had a very small audience, but it was the right audience to achieve her goals. So it's not about numbers. It's about impact. It's about being clear about what you want to achieve in your life. If you want to be known at some company, if you wanted to be invited to a conference, or you wanted to build relationships at a university, maybe your audience only needs to be 10 or 15 people. So my focus is on finding that actionable audience that can make a difference, and really nurturing that audience, building an emotional connection with that audience in a way that helps you achieve your goals.
Wow. Oh, well, thank you so much. You've shared so much value even in this short episode. So I can only imagine what value you'll be able to get from reading Mark's book. So where can we find you and your book if we want to know more?
Well, it's easy to find me on the web. My website is called businessesgrow.com. And you can find my blog, my podcast, and all my books. My books are available pretty much everywhere in the world right now. Paper, audio, Kindle, and even in some parts of the world, hardback. And they should be available in Europe and beyond.
Oh, lovely. Well, thank you so much. You've been so generous. And as I say, I can only imagine if we got that much from half an hour, what are we going to get from your book? So thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook group? It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.